It's Song Talk Radio.
Welcome to Song Talk Radio, the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. We share tips, tools, and techniques, and together we all become better at writing songs. Dialing in from our headquarters in Toronto, I'm Neil Modi. My usual co-host Phil Emery is away on assignment. So for everyone else, please send your comments and questions to at Song Talk Radio on Facebook or Instagram, or feedback at songtalk.ca for the email, and we'll share your thoughts on the show. And please visit songtalk.ca to see the show post for this episode, to find links to resources we mention, and to download lyric and chord sheets and follow along with the songs that we feature. Tonight, we're very happy to welcome indie folk singer-songwriter Rogan May to the show. How you doing, Rogan?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
Great to have you on the show. And before we get to Rogan's great song, just another reminder about our songwriting challenge for 2025 is to write a song in an odd time signature. You can check out the resource page at songtalk.ca and see past episodes about odd time signatures and a couple of other video resources and stuff. And we're asking our listeners to please send in your answers to the challenge by November the 10th, 2025. Shortly before then, Phil and I will be sharing our answers to the challenge. And then after November 10, we'll be sharing our listeners' answers to the challenge, which is always a wonderful time to share our listeners' songs and see how everyone else handles the challenge. So send them in by November 10th to feedback at songtalk.ca. Include an MP3, a lyric sheet with the chords, ideally, and a little paragraph or two about your songwriting process and how you handled the challenge. We'll read your little narrative on the air and then play your song and talk about the song. So we're looking forward to challenge time coming up in a couple of months. Okay, on to the main event. Rogan May is an indie folk singer-songwrater based in Barrie, Ontario. His music blends northern storytelling, raw emotion, and a deep connection to nature, shaped by his background as a wildland firefighter and smoke jumper. Earlier this year, he recorded his upcoming EP, Dickie's Green Plaid Jacket, in the house he grew up in, capturing themes of nostalgia, longing, and northern living. Rogan performs both solo and with his band, bringing intimate songwriting and layered instrumentation to stages across Ontario, including the Horseshoe Tavern and Flying Monkeys. His recent single, Lefroy, has been resonating with listeners for its vivid imagery and emotional honesty, and he's continuing to carve out a place in Canada's indie folk scene, heartfelt songs, and an authentic voice. So great to have you on the show, Rogan.
Thanks, Neil.
All right, so we're going to be talking about Rogan's song Lefroy. Is that what you pronounce it, Lefroy?
I actually think it's pronounced Lefroy. Like, it's based on a painting by Lauren Harris. And when I originally saw the painting, I read it Lefroy. And so I wrote the song as Lefroy. And then I went to play the song last year at a friend's, like, kind of Canada Day, like, party. And they're like... Mm-hmm. Seems like that would be pronounced Lefroy, like it's French.
And I was like it's French. Yeah.
You are better at French than me. So I actually think it's the mountain is probably called Lefroy. But when I was writing it, though, as well, I think it's easier to sing as Lefroy. Mm. Halfway up Lefroy versus halfway up Lefroy. Is a little bit more like you're like hitting up against something, you know?
Yeah. Well, because with Lefroy, you're putting the emphasis on Lee.
Yeah.
But with Lefroy, you're putting the emphasis on Froy. So it really depends how you're going to, unless you want to rejig your melody, it's going to put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. So
it's just one of those things now where I sing it one way, but I call the title something else. So
yeah. But well, we have the same thing here in Toronto. And I don't know if you're aware of the song Spadina Bus. It was by the, it was a song way back. I was in high school at the time and it hit the airwaves and stuff. And then later on, like in 25 years later, you hear it's supposed to be pronounced Spadina, not Spadina.
But, oh, really? Is it called Spadina?
That's what I've heard. Wow. I don't know what the truth is, honestly.
I've been calling it Spadina since I was, like, born.
Exactly. Right? I grew up on Spadina. So, like, I didn't grow up on Spadina, but I grew up with Spadina. Yeah. So I'm like, that's how I pronounce it. So whatever. Okay. So let's take a listen to Rogan May's song, Lefroy. And remember, you can find the lyric sheet on the show post at songtalk.ca to follow along. Let's have a listen.
I'm halfway up a Leafroy and I'm reaching for the clouds, but I just can't seem to touch them, no matter how far I stretch out. And I got so quick to climbing, thinking I'd be feeling tall. Now I see it's just the ego got me singing up here at all. Where are you now? Where are you now? Oh, come on now, Amanda. You keep moving far away. I hear the whisper of the white pines say it's all gonna be okay. You're safe but never sorry. Sometimes sorry is okay. Sometimes sorry wakes us in the night. Our crooked ways, where are you now? Where are you now? So I stand on top of Leafroy and I look out at the world and I wonder how much searching till I find myself a girl. Wonder how long it can be till I come to see the light. If this dimness proves to be the lover of my kind, I gotta pass some legislation. Goddamn right here tonight to build back up the timber, restoration of my life. Where are you now? Where are you now? Where are you now? It's all so clear, it's all so easy, looking out from up above. On the ground these vows may burn up when push comes to shove, but there's a shout deep in my soul and from my lungs it splits. I feel the bone chill of the evening off the stones now seeping in, and it just seems kinda silly, but I was thinking of my health. Under some sweet, cheap impression, might climb up and find myself. Where are you now? Where are you now?
Great song, Rogan. There's a lot of things I really like about this song. The nice, simple chord structure and melodies. And I really love the way the Where Are You Now hook comes in, because It's you changed it melodically there. I think you introduced one more chord in the middle of that that refrain section. And it's really nicely put together. You want to talk a little bit about where this song came from?
So the song is based on a painting by Lauren Harris, who's, if you're Canadian, Lauren Harris is one of the Group of Seven, which is like the most famous group of painters in Canadian history. Just happened to be that way. I was at the McMichael Art Gallery, which is an art gallery in Kleinburg, where the Group of Seven is actually buried, which is pretty cool. And so they have this cool art gallery of all their stuff, and there's like a ton of land that they own, so you can actually like go bike riding or something behind this art gallery. And I was there with my mom. This was a few years ago now. And it was actually her anniversary of her heart transplant. It was like her 13th or 14th year. And we like to go like see art together sometimes to connect and stuff. We both always like visual art. And so we were going through, and then I saw this picture of a mountain called Mount Lefroy. And I was looking at it, and I just got this melody in my head. And it was the first lines. I'm halfway up Leafroy, da 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 da. And then that's where it started. And then I went home. And the next couple days, I just kind of got obsessed with this different ideas and lyrically, like really just started writing, like vomiting out all these lyrics. So I had like a few pages of lyrics that I then had to like compile down and figure out how it was going to like make sense in a way. Yeah, I'm obviously very connected to nature, and I've had a job where I'm in Canada's like wilderness a lot. So some of it's connected to that. Other things is connected with kind of like the push and pull of where I had this job that that I was like passionate about, but it also like took me away from my family and all my friends and like kind of a normal life. Because it's really not being like a wildlife firefighter is really not a very normal job and doesn't lean towards like normal things you'd have in your life, because you kind of get a call and then you might be away for weeks and stuff. So I feel like I had a lot of maybe not suppression, but like pressure on me, because I also wanted to do stuff like in music and. Mm-hmm. And this was the point where I was back and I put myself back through college to like go for music after I already had a bunch of years, like 6 years as a firefighter. And, you know, had, you know, different things happen where you have friends leaving, go. There's a part where it's like, come on now, Amanda, you keep moving far away, blah, blah, blah. And that's kind of like an ode to, both my cousin Amanda and to just people in my life in general who, you know, I was moving around so much to like pursue this job that you end up having these people who are like really close to you. And then suddenly like you're moving on or they're moving and then you don't see them anymore. And it's like, what happened to you? You know, like where are you now?
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's where like that hook kind of came from.
Okay. So you were sort of inspired by this painting to pull into that personal experience, or did you always kind of want to write a song about that topic, but then the painting sort of gave you the avenue or the roadmap towards it or something?
No, I wouldn't say any of my songs are things that I've always wanted to write about. Honestly, it's more like that was like the initial spark, and then my like it's almost like my body just like. It's almost like cathartic, like my subconscious or like my emotions or whatever. Even sometimes it's things I'm processing, but I can't comprehend at the time. And then, you know, months later or a year later, I look back at the song. I'm like, oh, like that's what I was going through. That's why this like came out of me at that time. But sometimes in the moment, it's like I just start, you know, writing into my notes or writing into my journal. And makes me feel a way, but I don't necessarily like know why I'm writing what I'm writing. Sometimes I have to like step back after and make space to be like, what is this? You know, what is going on here with this song?
Like I think you were saying a minute ago about it, you need to sort of write pages and pages of stuff and then try to make sense of it. What am I actually trying to say? So you're actually trying to take all that material and whittle it down so it does have some focus and does have some kind of story to it, right?
Yeah, and obviously like, you know, I want my music to be like digestible in some sense. You know, I want to be true to myself, but I also want some success and for people to be able to listen to it. And it's like, if I just put together a song that was 10 minutes long of all these random thoughts, like your songwriter, like brain of like logic has to step in at some point and be like, okay, that's all good material, but you're going to have to part with a lot of this. And you're going to have to like, you know, a lot of this is going to have to die, but in order for you to get to this song, that's, you know, 3 to 4 minutes long and is something approachable that someone can digest. Otherwise it's just like a big blah that how can you grasp, you know, lines from someone else? Like I might be able to understand reading through all these random lines, but how someone I don't know if you don't have that repetition of like a theme, like where are you now coming back, or mm-hmm. like even the line of Lefroy coming back, how do you make it almost like a communicative experience of a song versus mm-hmm. just for me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that's fine, and I think what you accomplished is pretty good, because it's kind of open enough to let anybody bring their own experience into it, mm-hmm. right? Like when I read your lyric, I even thought to myself, maybe it's more about a personal journey about climbing, you know, the metaphorical climbing of a mountain, right?
And
you're reaching for something, but not quite getting there, or not quite accomplishing
that. And it is that too. Yeah, there's different ways to think about it at different times. Sometimes it's the part about other people, and then sometimes it's like mm-hmm. where, especially when I'm singing it, because I sing this song a lot, because I found people will both connect with like the story of it and the song. So I do play it a lot at shows and at gigs and stuff. And sometimes I think like the Where Are You Now is directed at myself. You know, like sometimes it's like I'm a person who's like very, very wanting to like improve himself, and sometimes maybe too much, like having like it's like your life is like a renovation project that just never ends, you know? And yeah. So sometimes I think I sing it and I think like, am I speaking to myself? Like where is this best part of myself, or where is like this part of myself that, is a center, like is me actually. And like, you know, like where is that? Where's Rogan? You know what I mean? And then other times I think it might be like kind of directed at however I think about God. It's like, sometimes you have like hard times in your life, and you know, it doesn't feel fair that certain things are happening the way that they're happening. And then I grew up very Catholic, which I wouldn't say I'm Catholic now, but I still have like faith and stuff, and sometimes it's kind of like, okay, if this God is out there, like where are you? Why is this happening to me? Why would you choose for this to happen to me? You know, where is your plan? Where are you in this moment of difficulty, kind of thing? So there's a lot of like, there's different layers for me for this song in those lines. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's pretty clear, is that it's, different layers and different interpretations. And I think it sounds like you're okay with that. Like you don't need to necessarily have your audience understand what your message was necessarily, or your particular angle on it was. So let's talk a little bit about the editing of the lyric though, because that's an interesting thing for me. I tend to write myself like I don't journal or anything like that, so I kind of go straight into the song, but I will do a lot of editing, but everything's always in the context of a verse or a chorus or something like that. So do you sort of journal out, sort of, you know, just dumping like a thought dump kind of thing, and then whittle lyrics out of that? Or how does it work for you?
Yeah, usually, I'd say most of the time, I vomit dump into my notes app, like on my phone. Depending on where I'm going through and what I'm doing at the time, it's just like that's what's available. Sometimes I'll go for a run. Like I was out for a run today, and I was going through some stuff with a girl over the last few days, and so I start running, and then it's like, part of me knows I need to bring my phone, even though I have like a watch that's going to like keep my speed and everything that I know. Because I know like I'm going to be a kilometer into this run, and I'm just going to start having these song ideas or like thought. I don't know. I feel like I've been songwriting for so long that now a lot of my like how I connect with my experience comes most directly through songwriting. Like there's like a, there's an element of like of I guess like professionalism of having done something a lot that connects to like the raw emotion of how you're feeling as a human being. And so now you have this situation where that like professional side of you who like can make something, an idea that's big, condense into like intimate line I just find like sometimes when I'm running or something, a line will come to me and I'm like, that is actually how I'm feeling. And it does rhyme and it does like, it is condensed. That could fit in a song. But even if I wasn't a songwriter, this is like a way to say how I'm feeling that I connect with. So a lot of time it would come like that. And then, yeah, I have to circle back and be like, which of these songs connect together? Where is the chorus in all this? Like, what is the part of this that I feel needs the focus? And what will other people connect with? Or mostly though, I just wanted to be, a good song. My whatever in my head is like considered a good song, but yeah.
No, I think you just feel your way through that, right? But I think, you know, the central refrain, because you don't really, you've labeled it a chorus on your chorus sheet, but it's kind of another verse. It's maybe a little bit longer, but it still has that, it still has that refrain section of the "Where Are You Now?" Right. Like I kind of feel like if I heard this song like on Spotify in the background and didn't know what it was called, I might have just called it "Where Are You Now?" Because that's the most repeated lyric and the central hook, right?
Yeah.
So there's always that sort of thing.
I tend to think of the chorus as like the build part where it's like when the so I'm halfway up, believe, when that comes around the second time, that's what I tend to think of as the chorus. But it is kind of a weird song structure. And it was in part because I had so many lyrics. And then this song was actually structured very differently originally, and it was much longer. Right. It was like 4.5 minutes.
Oh.
And then last year I submitted it. I sang and played with the Canadian Musicians Cooperative, which has a base in Barrie, but it's like across Canada. And I'm playing with them again this year. This year is just called, the show's called Bards to Beaches. But last year I entered a bunch of my songs and then this song got chosen. But the artistic director ultimately gets to decide what goes on with every song and how it's going to be. And so I was like, okay, screw it. Like, I might as well let them just, like, it's better for my song to be involved in some part. And then during the rehearsal process, they're like, this is too long. And the energy is different than we want it to be for this thing. We want it to be a lower energy and blah, blah, blah. And we want it to be, we need it to be this amount of time because of the time constraint we have on the whole show and the other songs that we have. And so it ended up getting reworked, and that's when the build, that build to the cutoff, that actually wasn't part of the original song, and it got built into the song because of this person named Fura, who's an artist. She's more of like a punk artist who was the artistic director of the show at the time. Every year changes, and so her interpretation of the song and what she wanted for the show, for it to be the sentimental moment, came into play where it had this big choke, and then it was just me and the guitar, and then it was like a sentimental moment, we call it in the system, like performance system that we use to talk about the show, where they wanted at the end of my song, they wanted it to be at a point in the show where nobody claps, and it's just like a very like low energy, like touching moment. So the goal for my song in their show was for nobody to clap at the end, and it for people like really heartbreaking almost. And so that's when that build and stuff happened. And then after that, I kind of liked the way it worked. And so I reworked it a little bit and took into what they wanted. And then some of the things that they did to it that I didn't quite like, I brought back in.
Okay.
Like the very last line of the song, they had cut off one of the last, that last line, and said there's too many lines at the end. But I thought I needed that line. I think the last, those are clear, so easy.
Under some sweet, cheap impression?
Yeah. Under some sweet, cheap impression, I might climb up and find myself.
Yeah. I really like that line.
Yeah, which I think really like wraps up the song really nicely lyrically. Yes. And so after it was done, after that show was done, I could bring it back to my band and play it however I wanted. I was like, you know what? I think I need this line in it for me as a lyricist. It brings it back in, which is like, yeah, that realization that, you know, it's very romantic to think, I'm going to hike this mountain and at the top, everything's going to be so clear and like my life's going to be different because of the view and like, I don't know, I could take a picture from up there and blah, blah, blah. And it really is. I like that line because it really is like a sweet but cheap impression. It's like, it's easy to get that in life. Like those, you know, you go do X, Y, or Z that just looks fancy, but that's not going to solve. It's not going to solve the problems you have in your life, right?
Exactly. Yeah, this guy's got that kind of bittersweet notion to it.
You know? Yeah.
Which is kind of nice. Yeah, so that's kind of cool. So you actually let it evolve through this experience with this group and everything, and actually came back halfway, not even halfway, but a little bit.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's interesting. So so to you, this is the final version of the song then? Your earlier version is now out the door. Yeah. You never perform it. You're not going to record that one.
No, I never played the early version.
Okay.
A little part of me is like, because I used to do something melodically in the chorus, which was like it was a counter melody that was like, and sometimes I think back to that being like, I wish I could hear that in the song. But overall, I think the version that it is now is a pretty solid version, and I'm happy with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty tight and focused. Like you were alluding to this before about whittling away all the stuff and trying to bring it to some clear focus. Because, like you said, it's not a very long song, and it's about one thing. You know, you're not meandering in your story. You're everything is pretty focused and clear about what it's about, and that's all that's in there. And if you've got some, you know, neat melody that you came up with, which is fine. You can, you know, recycle that into another song later on.
Yeah, maybe I will.
Which is that's always a thing, I think, especially as you mature as a songwriter, it kind of becomes, I don't know what easier, but it becomes more evident that you don't need to say everything. You don't need to include everything. Yeah. You don't need to throw everything at the wall and hope that some of it sticks. May as well just, you know, go with quality rather than quantity, right?
Yeah.
So what genre
do you like is kind of, would you say is your genre, or like, I don't know your music, so I'm not really sure.
Yeah, happy to share my stuff with you, but I'm kind of all over the place. I'm a rock guy at heart. I play in an indie folk rock band, and I'm a rock drummer. Completely.
Okay.
Right. That's my first musical love is drumming. But I play keyboard and I have one album on Spotify and stuff. This sort of I called it a progressive electro pop because I was playing around with it was pop songs, but I was playing around with odd time signatures. So everything's kind of funky that way. But I've done sort of typical singer songwriter. I've written rock songs for my band. I've written electro pop stuff. Even a little bit of classical overlapping and stuff. So I'm kind of all over the place.
Would you say you're like a musician's musician, or are you more of like a singer songwriter?
I'm a musician's musician, I think, more so, even though I'm not that great of a musician,
Yeah. I get by, but
we're just saying, like, you don't have to, you know, throw everything and be necessarily.
That's the thing.
Like, your song is what, two chords and a third one sort of in the middle there somewhere? It's basically two chords.
Yeah, there's not many chords in it. There's maybe like four or five chords. There's one or two passing chords that you might not pick up on the first person.
Yeah. The passing chords.
There's really hardly any sounds. It's more just about the This song's mainly about the lyrics, and then
yes,
and then yeah, kind of that build and that that I don't know, inner tension or whatever, the emotion of the inner tension. Which
is this typical of your kind of songwriting style, where the lyrics are a little bit abstract and the music part of it is pretty simple, and that's sort of a folk, you know, it is a folk tradition, even though this is clearly a modern song as such. Yeah. It's contemporary folk.
Yeah. On this project, I would say yes. It's not super. I wouldn't say it's super complicated. There's a few songs that have like more chords and stuff, or a song that's a little more rocky and stuff. Hmm. But the thing is, I have good players in my band that can do musically interesting things. Right. I have a violinist that goes by Saint Shepherd, and Jacob Diamond is my lead guitarist, who's like, he's truly a musician. That guy's like, he can play so many instruments like very well, and teaches and everything. And then, I just have good musicians. And so even though most of these songs I wrote on my own all of my songs that I play that can stand alone with just an acoustic guitar and vocal, because that's what I play a lot of the time at solo gigs.
Right.
If I want to up the musicality, like per square inch of a song, it's like, if I can give these guys more freedom, essentially. And now I'm starting to write songs with a little more space without lyrics, knowing that I have people who can do something interesting or say something with that space. So that's been kind of like a growing part for me as a songwriter, because originally when I was learning songwriting, it was very like the words, you know, like how does all this play out? And then, because I didn't have a band, and then once you have people that are good and you like their music and musical ideas, and they're good at connecting with the vibe that I want, then it's like, should I write a bridge lyrically, or should I have a space for them to do some kind of solo, or the lead guitar and the violin to play off each other, or maybe there's like a drum solo or a bass part? Kind of gives you a little more options, and takes, in a way, it takes off the pressure for me to think every song needs to have a bridge, or every song needs to, you know, have a third chorus instead of like a second part of a song where it's just music, you know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah, I'd say it comes differently. I write a lot though. Like I haven't released that much music, but I've written a lot of songs. And like most songwriters, most of them, you know, stay inside your phone, but, I also write more complex, like, chordal songs and different genres and stuff. That sometimes I'll write a song that's in a very different genre, like a punk song, that I'm just like, this doesn't make sense for me as an artist to ever release, really, unless something really big changes in my life. But it's good. It's both fun and gets a different energy out of my body, and might end up helping me write the more folk songs by knowing what folk is not. You know, if I write a rock song, even if it doesn't see the light of day, at least I understand more what a rock song is versus what a folk song is.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a good exercise. We have we have a regular co-host on our podcast, Blair Packham, who was in a big band back in the 80s. There's a lead singer of the Jitters back in the day.
Funny you bring up Blair. Blair was actually my songwriting teacher at...
Oh, was he? Okay, he studied with Blair, because he always says that he tells his students to write a quote-unquote country song, and very few of them actually get it.
I was one of the ones who got it, but folk is pretty adjacent to country. I wrote a good song called... Uncloud My Heart or something like that. which was it was and it was very country and stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Blair was a great songwriting teacher.
Oh, for sure. He knows his stuff. He knows his stuff in inside and out. Yeah. I can't say I've ever wrote a country song. I joke that I wrote a country song once because it was kind of a rock song, but it was emotionally vulnerable in a way that I never wrote before, so I call it my country song.
Yeah.
Whatever.
He did a bunch of good exercises. The biggest thing is he made a very good, just with his personality, he made a very good space in the classroom for people to feel like they could, you know, make whatever they want. And because most of the time you'd have to either play the song in this class, like live, or some, like if you really didn't want to, he would let you play a recorded version, but he like pushed pretty hard for you to play it live, like because he thought it was important for you to play it for people. And but yeah, it was very, very open space to play whichever songs you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did one. It was like a news article. He was like, you have to find a news article and then whichever one you want, but you have to find a news article and then write a song about that news article.
Okay.
So these different like challenges.
Yeah.
That it's almost freeing in a way. Cause I remember at the time it felt, you know, you feel like it's a constraint, but to not have to write something that's directly linked to your life and how you're feeling is actually very nice sometimes when you've been doing that a lot.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I can just pick something that's not about me or about X person or whatever.
Yeah, which is a great way to do it. But I feel like no matter what you do, you're going to inject yourself in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like you could say this song, Lefroy, is based on a painting, but most of the content is about your own personal experience. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Of course. Yeah, it is.
Like if someone else wrote a song based on that painting, they would come up with a completely different narrative than you did.
Yeah. Right? I guess it's not based, it's more inspired.
Inspired by. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. But no, I know what you're saying.
I've done that once before. I wrote a song based on a book and really trying to inhabit the character of one of the characters of that book. Right. So it had very little to do with me.
Yeah.
As much. But it's still my point of view on the things. Like it's kind of hard to escape you being you, right?
Yeah. And it comes, those kind of exercises, I think, it's hard to get yourself to do them if you're not in a situation where you have to do it for a project or whatever. Yeah. But they do improve your craft.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I do think. At one point in time, I thought, well, all those things, like I can just write whatever I want and I'll get better just by doing. But there's a lot of things that you just won't do naturally. You know, it's like if you're trying to learn an instrument, you know, my dad used to like put us, me and my two other brothers, in a different room when we were first learning, when we were kids. And it's like, there'd be like a typewriter in one room and then there'd be a piano and then there'd be a guitar in another room. And he would tell you what you had to learn by the time you came back. And then he'd close the door and set the timer.
Wow.
And he'd say, you better know this.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And so when he came back, it's like, you knew, like, he's coming back. I better know like what to do. And great. And that kind of thing, that kind of pressure on you, I do think has value, because I wouldn't have, and they weren't bad songs. He was really into, like, you know, the Eagles and the Beatles and stuff. So some of those songs are songs I still play today, like, you know, 15 years later or whatever. Yeah. But having that pressure on you of knowing you have to play this in front of your class and you're getting great on it or whatever, does help you do more, I think, than you would on your own sometimes.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, the whole idea, I mean, we do a songwriting challenge every year on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And it's a great way to, for one thing, to set a deadline to get something done. And and as well, the whole idea, like you say, about feeling like you're being assigned something and it's a restriction, it's actually not, because there's There's often the paralysis I find that comes with facing a completely blank page, right? Mm-hmm. Where you can write anything. So where do you even start? Well,
start with
a news article, right? start with a blog, start with something else.
Right? Start with something else.
Yeah. And to be honest, I mean, when we do that ourselves, like if it's not outward pressure on yourself, you can even say to yourself, and you do this all the time when you write a song, like you decide to write the song about this experience of people leaving and not coming back and losing touch with friends and all that sort of stuff, right? You're already filtering, you know, the plethora of everything into this particular story, into this particular narrative, and what your point of view is on it and how you feel about it. So every song you write, you're already starting to do that. It's only when it's assigned from someone external to you that you feel like it's a challenge. But really, you're doing that with every song you write.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, but yeah, that's a great way to do it. I'm so glad you got value out of Blair's class. I'm sure. I have no doubt you would.
He's been
on our show many times, and he's just a fountain of information. Like he's just,
yeah, I'll have to so go back intelligent. And I'll go back and listen to some of the ones he's been on.
Because
I haven't talked to him in a while, but
okay.
But he was definitely a wealth of information.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Funny.
So, is this song then out on streaming and all that sort of stuff now? Or?
Yeah, it came out about five or six weeks ago. And yeah, it's been good. We have a release party and it's been well received. I'm actually working on a music video now for it, so.
Oh, nice. Okay, is this your first music video or you done before?
The first like legit music video, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool. Is the story of the video the same as the story of the song, or is it a completely different thing?
It does take place on a trail, but
okay,
the idea I'm working with is like I have this suit I bought for my brother's wedding. Hmm. And the analogy behind the music video is going to be like moving from materialism to like nature and like,
okay,
less than that. So as I'm like walking up this trail, I'm like losing piece of this suit. And then at the end I have more of like a rugged, you know, yeah, so it's,
that's cool.
What I think. Yeah.
Okay. Look forward to seeing that. When the video is done, you should send it our way and we can include it on the show post when we do the show post for this episode.
That'd be great.
We can always add it to the bottom of the post.
That'd be cool.
All right. I'm here in the band and I think that's about all the time we have on the show. This has been Song Talk Radio. Special thanks to Rogan May. So where can our listeners find out more about you and hear some more music?
So on all the streaming platforms, it's Rogan May. Rogan like Joe Rogan and May, MEI. And then Instagram at Rogan May. You know, TikTok, pretty much at Rogan May everywhere. My website's roganmay.com. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, I'll definitely put links to that in our show post for this episode. Of course, we want to hear from our listeners too, so please send your comments on Facebook or Instagram to @songtalkradio or send us an email, feedback@songtalk.ca. And be sure to check out our YouTube channel for live performance videos and full episodes, and subscribe today to the Song Talk Radio podcast on your favorite podcast provider. And please support us at our Patreon page. You can visit songtalk.ca/support. Thank you to everyone who has supported us so far. And you can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned on the show on our resources page on the website. And please join us at our next monthly Song Talk meetup. Whether you're in Toronto for our in-person meetups or anywhere in the world for our online meetups, it's free to join on Eventbrite and free to attend the meetup. Bring a song and a lyric sheet and get constructive feedback from other songwriters. Stop by songtalk.ca for the link. You can follow me at neilmodi.com. If Phil were here, he'd say follow him at philemery.ca. And Rogan, what's your favorite social media platform? Where do you post the most?
Probably Instagram at Rogan May, MEI.
All right. Cool. Okay, so be sure to follow Rogan there on Instagram. And be sure to stop by the website, songtalk.ca, to browse past shows and find out how you can be a guest Thanks for tuning in and keep on writing.